Thank you, Pastor. Pastors Dustin and Hannah, we really appreciate you guys opening the door as a church for us to come and share our hearts, share our burden, because like the Wiggins family, we are all just one bad choice away from finding ourselves in a very difficult situation, and Love Life recognizes that. So our mission is very simple. Our mission is to unite and mobilize the church as the body of Christ to create a culture of love and life, but to bring an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. If that seems like that's a lofty goal, trust me, it is not. It is not, because when the church rises, when the church goes into our communities, we can help each other out or help our neighbors, because we're right there. We're right next to them. We know what their needs are. We can see what they need. We can see that they're finding themselves in a tough position. So it is our wish and our desire to mobilize the church, and we are seeing that. And I know that abortion is a difficult topic to address, but you see, it is not about what the politicians are doing. It is about what the church is willing to do, to come to the rescue, to come and help, and to come and say, you know what? There is a better option for you. Yes, I know it's tough. Yes, I know it's difficult. Yes, I know you're facing certain challenges. Maybe you're in high school. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're financially not stable enough, but you know what? You can do it, Mom. You can do it, Dad, and we are here to help. You see, because God has commissioned us, the church, the body of Christ, to be salt and light, right? To be that light that dispels darkness. Not because it eliminates it completely, but it tells you there is something else over here that is shedding light, that is causing our eyes to open to the truth, to the reality, to those that may find themselves in difficult circumstances. The legislation and all that will follow. See, because God has commanded us, the church, the body of Christ, his disciples, to be the head and not the tail. See, we have the answers. Why? Because we know the God who made us. We see it, we read it in Scripture, where he has given us the tools, the resources to come up with solutions. Solutions that will help and not hinder our way through life. Because truth is, we will find challenges all throughout our lives. And there are very difficult truths to talk about. But if we don't talk about them here in the church, then where are we going to talk about it? Where are we going to learn about what we can do as the body of Christ, as a community of believers that are willing to help each other out? You see, because the truth is that abortion is the leading cause of death in our country as of today, this year. And so really, since Roe v. Wade, it has become the number one issue or the number one cause of death. Recently, in Guilford County, they published into the causes of death for 2017, and the top category that they had there was cancer, and it was slightly over 900 deaths because of cancer in Guilford County. I'm not sure what the numbers are for Rockingham County, but I'm just going to use that example for now. That's where the abortion is, in Guilford County, in Greensboro. On average, we have estimated that about 40 abortions take place every single week. If you multiply that times 52, that's a little over 2,000 deaths just on abortion. We're not including heart disease. We're not including any of the other diseases that affect our daily lives. And yet we don't talk about it. We have been so conditioned to say this is such a private matter, this is such a private issue, but in reality it is not, because on average 17,000 babies are killed every single week in this country alone. Worldwide, those numbers are growing each and every year, because as we know, the abortion mindset is growing more and more as we see as time goes on. And this is why this is another important issue, because statistically speaking, 1 in 4 women, and we're including men in here too, because men, it does take two, right? 1 in 4 women and men will experience directly or indirectly an abortion, whether they had it themselves or they caused someone else to have it, or their spouse or partner, whatever, had an abortion and then told them later. And out of the people that have had an abortion, 54% of them would consider themselves Christian or of the Christian faith. You see, the lies and the deception have already crept into our churches. We are exposed to it every day and in it, day in and day out. So if we don't talk about it here within our four walls, where are we going to find the solutions? Where are we going to hear the answers? Because you see, it is not about shame and condemnation. It is about healing and restoration. It is about finding the truth. It is about finding that healing that we can all find through Jesus Christ. You see, because when he died on the cross, he said, "I'll die for everyone's sin except for the one who commits abortion." You won't find that anywhere in the Bible, correct? He came to die for our sins, all of them. Abortion is in there. It's just a long list of things that Christ can forgive us from. There's only one unforgivable sin mentioned in Scripture, and that is not it. So we can all find redemption. So if you, at Love Life, we recognize that this is something that is very real within our church. So whether you have an abortion story before Christ or after Christ, it makes no difference, because you see, there is shame and condemnation that comes with that action. But we are here to say that you can find healing and restoration through the love of Jesus Christ by the work that he did on the cross for us over 2,000 years ago. And when we come to Christ, we know that we become a new creation, but we must believe that we are that new creation that has been restored, that has been perfected, that has been given a new opportunity to rise up from those ashes that we find ourselves in, whether because we chose to do it or we were forced to do it or whatever the story is. And we recognize that people need healing from that experience. So we have partnered with a wonderful ministry called Restored Life. We have information in the back, these little cards that you can pick up. And if all you want is just information, maybe that's not your story, but maybe you know someone, or maybe you may come across somebody at a grocery store, at the gas station, just walking about, minding your own business. You might come across someone who is carrying that burden of abortion, and you can offer this opportunity. It's a Bible study designed for men and women who are post-abortive, because men, believe it or not, also suffer from a post-abortion experience. Yet they have believed the lie that this is a woman's choice, right? It's not your body, not your choice. But the truth is that it is part of them. It is a part of you men as well. It was about 70% of the women said that if the father had joined along, would have come along and taken responsibility for the life of that child, they would not have committed an abortion. They would not have had that abortion. So it's very much a societal problem, and we do need to help each other out in figuring things out. So please stop by at the back of the table and just get some more information. You know, when many of the women that have come to our prayer walks that have had the experience of an abortion find it absolutely healing to come to the place where we've also heard stories where probably over a decade ago, they themselves went to that particular clinic, because you see, the clinic has been around for about over 20 years. So there are women who come to our prayer walks, and they know exactly what the women inside that building are going through. They know the burden that they're carrying, and they find it themselves healing to be on the other side, praying and interceding, because they know that prayer will help them change their minds. That little voice inside can always get a hold of us like nothing else can, no amount of facts. So at Love Life, we have been blessed that for the last 3 years, we have seen over 1,500 families saved. And we say families because it is a family issue. It is about mothers, it is about fathers, it is about not just the children, but it is about the whole unit of the family, because we have seen a decade after decade take a downward course with each decade that goes by. So it's important to reach out to not just save the baby and say, thank you for saving your baby, now go have a good life. It's about teaching them, it's about helping them improve, just like the Wiggins mentioned. You heard it from their own mouths, and like the Wiggins, there are so many more. There are so many more that are being helped and mentored. We have also experienced a 70% drop in abortions on Wednesdays and Saturdays, because that is when we concentrate our prayers. But the pregnancy care centers are there day in and day out, 6 days a week, because believe it or not, abortions take place Monday through Saturdays, especially at that clinic where we're at in Greensboro, and also in Winston-Salem, which is the Triad area. So on average, in the Triad area, we have about 70 abortions every single week. But praise God, for the past year now, we have experienced that on Wednesdays, the abortion clinic is closed. Now, what happens on Wednesdays for the body of Christ? We fast and we pray. We fast and we pray for those that find themselves in that difficult situation to turn away. And the clinic has saw it fit enough to close for that day because they either have no business or they can't get anybody there. And for that, we thank God. We have seen over 45,000 people come to our prayer walks in the three cities. We have seen over 250 partnering churches statewide. We have seen abortion workers, over 25 abortion workers, feel compelled to leave the industry. And some of them are actually now joining us, especially in the Charlotte area, because they've been doing this a little bit longer. But in the Charlotte area, now they're joining and praying against that same place where they worked day in and day out. And for that, we give God the praise. We have seen over 1,000 people connect beyond the prayer walks, and we will share a little bit later what that would look like for you. But it is important for us to understand what it is that we are there to do. And this is what Love Life does. We go there to pray. We go there to worship. We don't interact with those who are in the abortion clinic. There is a time and a place for that. But on Saturdays, we go there to pray and to worship. Why? Because we know that prayer is key. Prayer is key to bind things on earth and in heaven, and to loosen the things on heaven and earth. You see, because we have been given the keys to that kingdom through Jesus Christ, who is the answer, who is the Savior. So what does a week look like, or what does Love Life help facilitate? Well, we call it an adoption week because we want you to hear, pray, go, and connect. Hear what? Hear on Sundays, hear today what you're doing. Learning about what exactly it is that we are expected to do as the body of Christ. You see, because it is not enough to say don't do it, but we have to know why it is not good for them to do it, because it destroys the spirit, it destroys the emotion, and in some cases it actually destroys the physical body. And it causes side effects that people oftentimes suffer in silence. And then here you have 30, 40 years later, a woman finally coming and saying, you know what, that is my experience. Why? Because people believe the lies. Lies are strong. Lies are powerful. It is a strong deception. So prayer is key to help people break the chains of that bondage, of those lies. Because you see, they're not going to come to the church. We need to tell them that they can come to the church. But before they come running to the church, we need to go to them in their moment of crisis, in their moment of need. And that's why we ask people to pray on Wednesdays for the people to unite in prayer, so that we can prepare our hearts and our mind and our spirit for what we are about to do on Saturdays, which is go. Go to that community. Go to that darkest place in our area, in the Triad area here, in our own community, which is literally the deadliest place in Greensboro and in the surrounding Triad area. Because you see, if you were to drive off Randleman Road, you wouldn't know there's an abortion clinic there. And it's off of 740, off of I-40. It's right next door to I-40, right next to the exit. As a matter of fact, there's a Japanese steakhouse across the street. There's a used tire repair shop and another fast food place. And in the small street, in a little alley behind an empty lot, is the clinic. You wouldn't know that's what it is. But we have had the blessing as a church and the opportunity to go out there and say, we're here. You don't have to go through this. You're not alone. Yes, we know your circumstances are difficult, like the Wiggins. Maybe the person finds himself addicted to something and they're concerned about the child. We can help them. See, the needs are very real, but the church is also very real. And once it mobilizes, once it understands its mission, that we have been commissioned by God to make disciples, right? Because coming to Christ is just step number one. Step number two is to grow into that new nature, to grow into that calling that we all have, to develop our talents and abilities. And so we ask you to come, to go on Saturdays, to be that light, to shine the light. Because see, a lot of the times the women sometimes will say, I need a sign. God, give me a sign. If I'm not meant to do this, give me a sign. Some women have left their wallets at home. Others see people right outside the clinic and they say, that's my sign. They'll turn away. As a matter of fact, if you've never had an opportunity to see the movie Unplanned, which is the story of an abortion clinic director from Planned Parenthood who walked away, I encourage you to see it, because you will see how strong and how skilled they are at using lies to get that woman to basically destroy the life of an innocent human being. And they will use church terminology, things that we would say like, well, God will forgive you. God understands. God knows you can't handle that right now. He will forgive you, which is partially true, right? But we don't have to go there before we have to ask for forgiveness. We don't have to go through that so that we can ask for forgiveness. We can start coming to the church and going to our own community and saying, you know what? I need help. Can you offer that? Maybe you're not able to offer that help, but you know someone who could, and you can connect them. And that's how we, that's the last part of our mission, is to connect church members with the need. So maybe, you know, you might be saying, hey, you know what? I want to get involved with Restored Life. I want to help women. Maybe that's my story. I have a story like that. But I have been restored by the power of Christ. I have found salvation and healing, and now I want to help other women do the same. You are welcome to do that, and we provide the platform for that. You can also become a prayer walk champion, which just means you just come any Saturday that we're there, because we're there for 40 weeks. We call it a 40-week journey of hope. Why 40 weeks? Because that's the normal period of a pregnancy. And we want to offer hope to these women who are desperate, who find themselves and think that's their last stand to freedom, not realizing that they're going to create more bondage for themselves, emotionally, spiritually, and maybe even physically. So we would like for you to consider becoming a prayer walk champion or become a mentor. Basically what this lady was doing with the Wiggins family, they connected people with someone who could help them. Maybe it's provide them assistance with, you know, taking them to appointments. Maybe it's just taking them to Bible school or Bible study. Maybe it's just becoming a friend, becoming a neighbor, opening your door for someone to see the light of Christ. And to say, you know what, that gives me hope. I can do this. I can overcome this obstacle, no matter what. Or become a sidewalk counseling. If you come to the prayer walk and you realize, you know what, man, I really need to talk to these people. Well, there's a time and a place for that as well, and we will connect you with the pregnancy care centers. They do the lion's share of the work week in and week out, day in and day out. God bless them for the work that they do, because they do take a lot of grief. And we do have escorts from the clinic who usher the women in to, quote-unquote, protect them from the protesters, which is us. Even though we're technically not protesting, we're just showing up to say, you know what, Mom, you know what, Dad, there is hope. Or maybe you also want to find out more about the orphan or foster care program, not because you're going to leave with the child right there and then, or you're committed to become a foster care parent or to adopt right away, but it's just to find out more information. How can you do that? Maybe that's not your position. Maybe you're not able to adopt or foster, become a foster parent, but you can be a support system for that foster parent, for that adoptive parent, someone who does decide to go through the process of taking children in to help them and raise them. Maybe you can provide meals. Maybe you can provide a babysitting opportunity or just a relief so that the parents can, you know, have some together time. That is certainly something worthy of consideration. Or become a culture pioneer. A culture pioneer just means that you give monthly whatever you can so that this work can multiply. You see, because what we're doing here in North Carolina is resounding all across not only this country, the U.S., but across. And we praise God because just yesterday we launched in New York City. And we had a wonderful showing manifestation of the power of God at the very clinic that performs the most abortions nationwide, which is about 11,000 abortions a year. Remember I told you in our triad area we do about 2,000? They do 11,000 approximately every single year. It is the deadliest building. It's a seven-story building, as a matter of fact. It's a seven-story building. And so Love Life, with partnering churches in New York City, have decided to stand up and say, no more, not here, not while I'm alive. We do praise God for that. Because you see, the enemy doesn't care if he destroys our life. That's his aim. That's his goal. But through Christ, we can overcome. We can overcome our sin. We can overcome our fears. We can overcome our difficulties. See, because at these prayer walks, what we do, like I said, is we start with prayer. We do worship. We walk over to the clinic, which is just a short walk across the street from Destiny Church, which is where we meet every Saturday. And we pray. And we worship. And we come back because we know that we are called to action. We are called to be that salt and light. And so now it is our turn. Jesus Christ did it for us over 2,000 years ago by dying on the cross for our sins. He laid his life down. He said, you know what? I'm going to come. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to do it in love, but I'm also going to follow it with action. And now it is our turn to do the same for the least of these. Because how many of us found ourselves on that other side? Maybe not an abortion issue, but we still had to come to the realization that we needed Jesus Christ in our life to make better choices, to improve our lives, to really find that true, that peace and that happiness. So now it's our turn, not just in word or with speeches, but with actions, with deeds, in truth, and in love. So we are very grateful. And also we recently, we had somebody from Australia come to one of the prayer walks in Charlotte, and they took it. They took Love Life, or the concept of Love Life, over to Australia, and now they are doing it there as well. So you see, it's not about the U.S. alone. It's a worldwide issue. It's a worldwide problem, and it is the church's responsibility to rise up, because it is not about the borders. It is not about the countries. It is about the kingdom of God being established here on earth to restore what was lost. Lost by what? By sin. You see, we're all fallen. We have all sinned and done wrong against God, but God said, you know what? I'm still going to provide an answer. And it is our generation's turn to be the Calebs and the Joshuas that say, you know what? Yes, this is a difficult challenge. Yes, this is a difficult topic to address and to talk about, but you know what? We can do it. We can overcome it, because Almighty God is before us. He has already led the charge, and he has shown us what we need to do. So let us stand up. Let us be that generation that others' generation will not curse, but will see it as a generation that decided to rise up and to really move forward in that commission that we were given from the very beginning. So I thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. And you should have received cards as you were coming in to fill out. So we ask you that you please fill out, and Pastor, if you want to come up and lead them with that.
Everybody have their cards. Hold them up. I ask that you pause in this moment and think about what the Lord is doing right now. If the Lord is leading you to commit to something like this, to be a part of it, I ask that you start filling that out. And as you do so, may we pray. God, we're here before you. We've heard the stats. We've heard the stories. We've heard what's been going on, and we lament. We lament over what is going on. And God, we cry out to you and ask for you to move and to use us, we pray. Amen. Just one last video I'd like you to watch.
When I grow up, I want to change the world. While I'm working on accomplishing world peace, I want to own a candy shop and eat candy all day. I can give free candy to everyone, and we can all jump on an indoor bounce house. We can play with toys all day. Well, that's what I want. I never got the chance. 5 years ago today, I died. I never made it out of my mother's womb. Those metal and plastic things came in, and I don't like to think about what happened that day. There was nothing I could do. I tried to get their attention, but it was like a dream. I wanted to yell, but I didn't have a voice. Thinking back, I wish you would have saved me. I wish someone would have said something. Did you know I was dying? Minutes away from where you casually spend hours on social media. I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I forgive you. I just want to know, where were you?
Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." We are all made into the image of God. He created us, every single one of us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. Many of you have a heartbeat right now, I hope. You can breathe in and you can breathe out. That was given by God. Your eye color, your hair color, your lack of hair, it was all given by God. We were all created in His image. And as His imagers, we are responsible to take a stand for life. Will you? In Psalm 39, 13 through 16, it says, "For you form my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret place. I was woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." God created each and every one of us. He formed us in our mother's womb. He is the life giver. Will we take a stand? Will we get involved in this organization that is about life? They're not about condemnation. We've been talking about that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to bring life to the world, to restore back that relationship. In the same way, the church is to go and not to condemn the world, but to love the world and take a stand when the darkness is prevailing, to take a stand and be the light to that world. Where were you? The little child asked. Where were you? Were we silent? Are we still silent today? Or are we going to be involved in this? Life is at stake. Children is at stake. This isn't a political issue, really. This isn't just a black thing or a brown thing or a white thing. This is a whole creation thing. This is a church thing. The church needs to rise up. Like's been said to you this morning, the church needs to rise up. The year was 1943. It was in Germany. This is a true story that happened during the Nazi Holocaust. A church sat right in front of a railroad track, and every single Sunday, while they were singing, while the preaching was going on, during the morning worship service, the train would go past, and it was not very far. It was from here to the back wall. That's how close the church was to the tracks, and it kept on speeding by, and it was so loud. The members would hear the whistle come, and it was so loud. And the members would hear the wheels of the cattle carts passing by, clank, clank, clank. And as it passed by, they knew exactly the same time it would happen, and they knew that they would sing louder. Sing louder. And they would sing as loud as they could or the preacher would preach as loud as he could so that the church members would not hear the passing train. And every Sunday this would happen over and over again. But in the spring of 1944, what happened that day still haunts many of the people to this day. It was like every other normal Sunday morning. They were singing songs, and the preacher began to preach. And he was preaching, and that morning something happened. The train was coming by, they heard it, but something happened, and it caused the train to mess up, and it came to a screeching halt right behind the church. Not a whistle, not a clank was happening. The preacher was preaching. He began to preach, but then they started to hear something. It wasn't the sound of the clank. It wasn't the sound of the whistle. It wasn't the sound of the conductor. It was the sound that was coming from the cattle carts. It was the sound of men, women, and children beating on the side of the cattle cart, screaming from the top of their lung, "Help us," in German. And they heard it. Every single member heard that. Help, help. And so the pastor got louder in his preaching. But the sound of the voices coming from the cattle carts, coming from the train, was overtaking his sound. So what does he do? He pauses in his sermon, gets down, grabs a hymnal, the organist starts to play, and they start singing. And they sing louder and louder and louder. Everyone joins in, singing louder and louder and louder until the train was fixed and it went on its way. True story about a church that did nothing. May we not be that same church. May we be a church that responds and gives and does things and gets involved and be light in the midst of this darkness. Proverbs 24, verse 11 says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter." Will we respond to the cries? Will we respond to the life that is being taken? Will we respond and give of our lives to this cause? For it is one of the top causes in our nation, in our world. But the church has been very quiet for decades. May we not be quiet any longer. Is there forgiveness for those that had abortion? Absolutely. There's forgiveness for you. 1 in 4 women have had abortion according to the stats, and chances are that that is the case in this room, that there has been someone here that has had an abortion. God loves you. He forgives you. Turn to healing. He gives healing. Can people find a way out of the abortion industry? Absolutely. You have heard that people have chosen that. Can there be care for those who chooses life? Yes. That's why I love this organization, is that they're not just pro-life and just stance and the way that they respond and just vocalizing it, but they walk with the people who chooses life. They go and they put them in connection with other organizations, and they themselves get involved and help them to choose life and to be with them and help guide them and coach them. Is there other options besides abortion? Absolutely. And me and my family are living proof, because we took a stand and we decided to step in and to be an adoptive family. And we have 2 little girls. Well, little to me. They're 12 and 10 now. But we adopted them many years ago. And so is there other options? Absolutely. See, there is an army rising up. Are you a part of that army? There's an army rising up in Greensboro, in Raleigh, in Charlotte, in New York City, all over the world. An army is rising up, being led by the Spirit. They are fasting and praying for God to move in a powerful way. This army is rising up here on this earth, but the reality is that we're partnering with an army that's already been rising up, and it's the army of angels that's coming, the army of spiritual beings that's coming on behalf of us, that's coming from heaven as well. Will we join in? Wednesday, October the 9th, that is this Wednesday, we are challenging you with that commitment card. We are challenging you to commit to pray and fast for God to move. Like you heard said this morning, that on Wednesdays, now the abortion clinic closes down in Greensboro. It's not by chance that they close down their doors on Wednesday. It's because God's people are fasting and praying, and God is at work in there, in that area in Greensboro. Will you commit to join with me, with my family, to go and take part in this prayer walk on Saturday, October the 12th? That's this coming Saturday. You ask, well, Pastor, I'm not much of a walker. It's one block. You walk as far as to your car as where we will walk to the abortion clinic on Saturday. Don't make that an excuse. I will carry you if I have to. All right? Come and join with us. We sing praise to God. We walk together. We pray that God would move and people choose life there. A couple Saturdays ago, me and my daughter, Paylina, went. And I remember a moment where they asked us to pray for the women in that clinic. And me and my daughter were praying, and she prayed, and her brokenness over those parents just gave life to me. It set a fire in my bones because I saw, we were partnering with, 600 plus youth that came out that Saturday. And I love it because the youth were there standing in the gap for these children. May we follow. May we cry out. May we commit to be a part of this movement. Church, with your commitment cards at hand, we're going to open up the altar this morning. And it's a commitment. We're coming forward. We're going to pray for this, what God is doing with Love Life. And we're going to leave these commitment cards on the altar. And as that sign of commitment, may you join with me to pray around the altar and to be a part of this movement here in North Carolina in Greensboro. Begin to pray for this clinic that's in Greensboro. Pray for the men and women that's a part of this. Pray for the moms and dads that are contemplating this week right now to abort their baby, and pray that they choose life. We come to you right now, God. We're seeking your face. And God, you say through your scripture, if we will rise up and seek your face, you will heal our land. And God, you know what's going on in our land. You know how death is winning in a lot of ways, God, that the darkness is prevailing, God. And God, we pray over Greensboro right now. God, we pray over the Women's Choice abortion clinic that's in Greensboro right now. God, we pray that you would close the doors in Jesus' name, God. We pray that the light would go in there and it would saturate that place, that block would not be one of the most darkest block in Greensboro, but God, that it would be a block of light, God, that people would know and see revival come from that place, God, in Jesus' name. God, we pray for the men and women, God, that work in that clinic. God, I pray that you would put conviction on them, God, that they would begin to just be led by the Holy Spirit, and God, that they would just walk in your light, God, and walk in your ways, and God, that they would leave that job, God, and that they would be found another place to work, God, and they would choose life, God. instead of death. God, I pray for the men and women, God, that are contemplating this week right now, God, that they're contemplating abortion. God, I pray that you would put a sign in their way, God, that you would convict, God, and that you would comfort them, God, that you would show them that there is another way, God, that there is life, God, and they can choose life, whether it be them raising the child or whether them giving their child up for adoption. Whatever it may be, may they choose life in Jesus' name, we pray. God, I pray for the commitment cards right now, God, that lay on the altar here this morning. God, I pray that you would put a fire in our bones to stand up to this, God, to stand up to this darkness, God, and to be a light into this world, God, and to see this go across the country, God, of churches rising up, God, and to go out into the land, God, and to bring healing to the land. God, use us, we pray. God, be with us as we fast and we pray on Wednesday. God, give us strength. God, fill us, God. Not with your food, but with your spirit, God. And may we feel you, and may we see you move through our lives. And God, I pray that you would be with us as we go on Saturday. God, beautiful are the feet that bring good news. May we be those beautiful feet as we walk, we pray, we sing, and may people choose life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.